My guests have co-written a book that I'll introduce in just a moment. Let me first introduce them. Stephen Sloman is a professor of cognitive, linguistic, and psychological sciences at Brown University and editor-in-chief of the journal Cognition. Philip Fernbach is cognitive scientist and professor of marketing, University of Colorado Leeds School of Business. And together they have written The Knowledge Illusion, Why We Never Think Alone. Welcome to both of you, first of all, and I must say, as I've read your book, that I feel like I am a victim of the illusion of understanding. I'm not quite sure I know anything after reading this book. That's not what your goal was.
We all are. Don't worry about it.
And I get that, and I understand your point, but it is one of those things that's kind of intimidating when you think, well, I thought I knew certain things, but now I understand of how dependent I am on others for knowing what I think I know. I'll start with you, Dr. Sloman. Is that, am I on to something by at least admitting that now?
Absolutely. That's exactly the idea. The idea is that the world is an incredibly complex place, and it's just not something that individuals can fully understand. And so instead of thinking about knowledge as something that sits inside the skull, we should think about knowledge as something that's shared by a community. Humans are foragers for knowledge. We use our body to remember things and to do simple arithmetic, and we use our desks and the world around us to help us remember and think. But more than anything, we use other people. So we use other people to store information and to answer questions for us.
I apologize right now that we're going to have to jump all over on this because our time is limited, but I hope we give people a flavor of what it is that you have studied and researched and written about. Dr. Fernbach, there was one thing, and this is what I just heard from the other answer, and that is, I think I caught this pretty early on, we act and then think after that. Somehow our knowledge is built upon the act of acting. Is that one of the points that is made in this book also?
Right. So one of the big ideas in the book is really to understand what the mind is for, to try to understand why we tend to overestimate how well we understand things. And what we argue is that the mind really evolved to act, to respond to the environment in more complex ways. And oftentimes, really understanding the details is not conducive to that. Sometimes you want to forget the details and have more generalizable principles that you retain. And that might be one reason why we tend not to understand things very deeply, because it's not always the best way towards effective action.
And the point is that we don't have to understand things pretty deeply. In other words, you start out the book very early on saying, could the reader describe how a toilet and a flushing of a toilet works? I don't have to really understand that too well. I do understand some of that so that I can fix it when my plunger or my stopper doesn't seal properly when the water is refilling, but I couldn't tell you all the rest of what's going on behind the scenes, but I don't need to in most cases.
Absolutely. Like Steve said, the world is so complex, and yet we do need to be able to act in that world. And so it's absolutely vital that we're able to do so without having all the details. Now, the flip side of that is that can get us into a lot of trouble in certain respects. For instance, in the political domain, when we want to maintain a really strong position about something without really understanding the details, that's one of the reasons that we have such polarization and extremism around issues that people don't understand very deeply.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's where I wanted to go right now. I really like the chapter on politics. I spent most of the time, I wrote a lot of notes on that. I liked one of the experiments that I think you all did when you had people look at certain positions and then explain what that issue was and then come back and say how strongly you felt about that compared to asking someone, what is your feeling about this topic, and then tell me why. I don't know who wants to summarize that, but I thought that was fascinating and really was a good starting point for helping people maybe to reach compromise or to reach an understanding, even though when they come from vastly different original or initial attitudes.
Yes, that's exactly the point. So very briefly, the experiment, it's an experiment that was first designed by a great psychologist at Yale named Frank Kyle. He did it with simple artifacts like toilets and zippers and ballpoint pens. We did it with politics. So we took some political issues. We asked people how they felt about them and how well they understood them. And then we asked them to take the policy that we asked them to consider and and explain it. Explain what outcomes it would produce, right? So think about Obamacare. Can you explain exactly what the consequences of Obamacare would be? And although sometimes people could say one or two things about the policy, their knowledge was really, really limited. They really had incredibly little to say. So then when we ask them again how well they understand the issue, their rating was lower. They admitted that they had lived in a bit of an illusion before, and they understood that their understanding was not quite what they thought it was. And moreover, the extremity of their position decreased.
Mm-hmm.
So they became less confident in their understanding and therefore less confident in their attitude. So it sort of reduced the polarization we saw in the people that we tested.
So I wrote down something like this, explaining soften opinions much more than defending. I mean, if we're explaining mode rather than defending mode, that makes a crucial difference in the understanding
of
the issue.
Brilliant way to put it. We didn't put it that way, and I wish we had. So we asked people, if instead of asking people to explain the consequences of the policy, if we ask them for their reasons,
mm-hmm.
right? Why is it that you think this is a good or bad policy? Then often they would refer to, you know, who had told them it was a good policy or what their values are. They wouldn't talk about the consequences of the policy. And when they did generate reasons, their sense of understanding did not decrease, and neither did their attitude become less extreme. So I think the critical thing is getting people outside themselves, right? Getting people to talk about the policy on its own terms rather than what their relationship is with the policy.
On its own terms rather than the relationship with. However, there was one exception, and I don't think we have much time on this, but I'm going to try to squeeze it in, and that is the role of values. I thought the description and the explanation of that right after what we're talking about, where you put in values, really does cause a roadblock in some of this.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're doing a lot of research on that right now. People often base their positions on a simple value, which really doesn't take any reflection or thought.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine if the issue really boils down to values. But one of the downsides of that is that it can actually make the issue seem simpler than it actually is, and it can sort of stop people from thinking through the implications and the consequences of the policy. So we've been doing some studies looking at how framing a policy in terms of values, basic values, this is wrong or this is right, how people's thought process differs with respect in comparison to when a policy isn't framed in terms of the consequences that it might lead to.
I really like this book, and I would be under an illusion if I said I understood everything about it and know all about it now, but it's really good, and it is what we are talking about is really crucial for this time, especially in the political world. Stephen Sloman and Philip Fernbach, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much.